with hungry jaws in snares. Young frenzy animals infest the hills and slopes. Everyone avoids the deadly step of scopes. Oh, the Amazon is calling.
The Saturday Light Brigade with Don McLean, and that got me thinking. My dad liked that song a lot, and that was not written by Don McLean. I wanted to look that up because I wanted to remember. It goes back to 1929. It was written by Gratrix Newman, Clifford Gray, and Vivian Ellis as a song for a musical called Mr. Cinders. And Don McLean's self-titled 1972 album included that song. Dave in Grove City contributed another hand for Full House. Thomas the Tank Engine, Tom Selleck and Thomas Jefferson over Martin Short and Martin Landau. And we have a few others here's one from Jim in Crafton Heights. Marla Thomas, Thomas Mann, and Thomas Jefferson over Martin Van Buren and Andrea Martin. Kathy has Thomas's English Muffins, Richard Thomas and Thomas Edison over Martin Short and Dean Martin. And let's see, Larry in Elwood City says, maybe I need to be disqualified because these are all family members of Victor, Virginia, and Vanessa Thomas, Van and her parents, and Steve Martin and Martin Short. Chris in Dormont, good morning, as Frank Thomas, Tom Jones, Thomas Jefferson, Mary Martin, that's a good one, and Martin Sheen. Thanks for playing along. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRGP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio, where you can listen through the player there, as well as links to Simple Radio, TuneIn, Radio Garden, and Streama, as well as find our listen by phone number at 631-359-8728. Here's one more. Richard Thomas, Thomas Wolfe, Thomas Paine, along with Martin Sheen, Martin Landau, and just for a little extra fun, Marty McFly. Thank you for sharing those with us.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the millions, so they'd have to find those extra cups to fill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, cause they gotta fill their quota. And the way things are, I guess they never will. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. No tea, no tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, cause the planters down in Santos all say no, no, no. A politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Her perfume was made right on the grill. They could percolate the ocean in Brazil. And when your ham and eggs need savor, coffee ketchup gives them flavor. Coffee pickles way outsell the dill. They put coffee in the coffee in Brazil. No tea, no tomato juice. You see, no potato juice. God, those planters down in Santos all say no, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, drinking coffee with a cruller. Dunking doesn't take a lot of skill. They've got an awful lot of coffee, an awful lot of coffee, awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
An awful lot of coffee in Brazil was the song we just opened up with. Thanks for tuning in. Today, in a moment, you're going to hear a very talented pianist. Also this hour, we have a couple writers who I think you're going to enjoy hearing from. A quick note that our October calendar for the Youth Media Center is out. You can find it at ymc.slbradio.org. Monday through Thursday, 3 to 6, and Saturdays from 10 to 2. There's a lot of folks up there in the Youth Media Center. We have activities free to area teens. You can stop in any time. You can also look for specific workshops of interest on our calendar at ymc.slbradio.org. And also, everybody else invents holidays. We decided to claim a whole month for Car-tober. Which is our fun way of encouraging you or somebody you know to donate a used vehicle to SLB. It can be running or not. Cars, trucks, RVs, boats, and more are eligible. Our partners take care of the pickup and the paperwork and all of those kinds of things. You end up with a donation, possibly a tax deduction, and probably the greatest value you'll ever have for the vehicle. And when the vehicle is sold by our partners, the cash goes directly to our operations here. You can get more details at slbradio.careasy.org. And if you could let folks you know about this, they might be looking for just such an opportunity. slbradio.careasy.org, or you can phone 855-500-RIDE. Good morning to Burl. Thank you for playing along this morning. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And it's now a pleasure to welcome a guest by way of the Pittsburgh Concert Society. For years, we've been working to bring these very talented musicians to you. I see we have Joan Zelkowitz is here this morning, along with Arong Liu is here And you're about to hear this high school senior from Winchester Thurston. He's 18. We'll talk with him after his first piece. Here is Evan Park.
Thank you.
was Evan Park playing piano, Franz Schubert Impromptu Opus 142, number 3, was what he just played. Evan is a senior at Winchester Thurston, and I just put a picture, a short video of him playing on our Facebook page in the event you wanted to get a little sense of that. Evan, how long have you been playing? Did you start when you were very young?
Yeah, I started when I...
Come a little closer.
Yeah.
That's good.
I started when I was 5 years old. So it's been many years now, like 13 years.
Do you remember the very beginning when you were first learning? And did you find it? How did you find it as you were learning?
So originally, I have an older sister who was taking piano lessons. But what ended up happening is I like walked into the lesson because I was a 5 year old kid, and I just like started playing on the piano and I wouldn't stop. And every single time after that, like when I woke up, I just go and I'd go play the piano. And I mean, like I was just thinking about piano like so much. I ended up basically stealing my sister's lesson away from her at the time. So my piano, so my parents were like, yeah, we have to get him to start some lessons. Otherwise he's not going to stop, is he?
That's interesting. They say a lot of times, when you're about that age, you might already have a sense of what it is you enjoy doing most and that you'll enjoy doing as an adult too. And clearly, you do. Have you plans for after you graduate from Winchester Thurston? Do you know what you may do afterwards?
Yeah, so I'm going to study in college. I plan on studying creative writing as well as literature. And of course, I want to continue studying piano as well. So that's definitely something that's still a big priority and a big part of me.
Yeah, and that's often the case. I know a lot of people who end up, there's no law that says you can only do one thing. And a lot of people end up having a lot of diversity and even totally different careers in life. What else do you like doing besides piano and writing?
Yeah, so I'm a very avid chess player. I play competitively. So I've traveled like the world because of that. I've been able to experience so much through chess. I think it's a really big part of me, and it's also taught me many things like the competitive nature and how to deal with pressure. That's also helped with piano as well.
Yeah, and thinking ahead is important. And just I think it teaches you a lot of calm and patience as you play chess.
Oh yeah, definitely. Too. I think one of the most important things it taught me was patience. And that's really helped in my piano because it means that if I don't get like something quickly, it's okay. And like I have more time and I can continue to work on it until it gets there.
Are you able to sight read?
I mean, I can. I would not say I'm very good at it. Like, if you just gave me a piece of music and it was, like, decently complicated, I would probably struggle.
I'm starting to realize I can't do that. And, you know, when I was a kid, I thought that I didn't have what it would take to be a musician because I couldn't do that. And I'm starting to realize only now that a lot of musicians don't perfectly sight read. Of course, it would be hard to do that, I think.
Yeah.
But I always thought, oh, that's what you do. So I would, decode these pieces slowly and then eventually at the right tempo and really work at them until I understood them. And I always thought that meant that I didn't have any talent. And I'm learning that a lot of people with a lot of talent do the same thing.
Yeah, I think there's sometimes there's a bit of a misconception with piano that it's about reading through the piece and like knowing when to play the notes. But that's really just only step one. And that's why sight reading, even though it's an extremely useful skill, is just a skill. It's a tool that will help you practice and it helps you learn the piece. But after that, it's about like how you are able to understand what is written on the music, like how you do like everything from the rhythms to the dynamics and like how you want to hit the keys, like how you want to play. That's the most important part.
I can tell you'll be a great writer because listening to you explain something that I think is kind of complicated, you've got a lot of clarity in terms of helping us understand what might go through your head or another player's head as you're playing. Do you have any buddy you would like to thank, any instructors? Or we certainly want to thank the Pittsburgh Concert Society for honoring you. And you can learn more about their work at pittsburghconcertsociety.org. Anybody else we should mention?
Yes. My professor and piano teacher, Luz Manriquez. She's been, I've been studying with her for like 11 years now, I think. Yeah, it's been a while. And I mean, she's been so supportive. And like, you know, I've been a kid, you know, I was growing up. So I didn't always have the best lessons. So I really appreciate that she's been able to really guide me and like teach me like how you should play. And not only that, but I've been like, whenever something gets really difficult, she's also able like to help me through it. And I really appreciate that. In addition to her, of course, my parents for supporting me the entire way and, you know, encouraging me to play piano. And I mean, I can't imagine how it feels like because I play so many pieces and they're so loud and they just have to, like, I'm just banging away at the piano because it's, and like playing forte and they're probably trying to work. And I, like, I'm very grateful for everything they've put up with and everything they've helped me with throughout the years.
Well, and we should thank your sister, too, for allowing you to usurp her lesson. Do you have any other siblings?
No, it's just my sister, and she's a very talented and very good pianist as well. So,
what's her name?
Eleanor. Growing up, she was someone who I always looked up to as well.
Well, I'm glad you're able to be here. And you're going to finish up with another piece. Can you tell us its name and a little bit about it?
Okay, yeah. So this is a very unique piece. It's a contemporary piece by a Korean composer called Eun Suk Chin. So when I was looking for pieces to, you know, study next, I wanted to play something from my heritage, from a Korean composer. And I stumbled upon this piece, and she's a very interesting character and interesting composer. This specific piece is inspired by a form of electronic music production called granular synthesis, where you basically break down sound into tiny little pieces, and then you rearrange it. It's very interesting. And she studied with Ligeti. And so you can see a lot of influence in like the rhythms and the dynamics. That's really the focus of the piece, the huge dynamic swings, the very complex rhythms. And the third thing is how she utilizes rests. Silence is as important in her music as the notes. Yes.
Well, here it is. It's Etude number 6. Grains is the subtitle. And once again, here is Evan Park. Thank you. Evan Park. That was incredible. And I could hear what you were saying about the rests sort of being, the notes not played are as much as a part of things as the notes actually being played. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I hope we'll get a chance to see you again, whether it be after graduation or sometime when you're home from school.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
That piece was just mesmerizing. Evan Park from the Pittsburgh Concert Society Young Artists Awards, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Life Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
I was born to sing a good time song, you know that nothing used to bring me down. You got me singing the blues. You got me singing the blues. Oh Lord, does a good time man like me ain't got no business singing the blues. Go on home and get out of here. You know I don't wanna see your face. All the things you're doing, that this boy's mine, it's an absolute disgrace. You got me singing the blues. You got me singing the blues. Good time men like me ain't got no business singing the blues.
Sodom Scene with that song written by Jim Croce. In just a moment, we have a pair of people that were honored in the 2025 Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards. We'll talk a bit about their work and about themselves, too. That'll be coming up in just a minute or so.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Northside Chronicle is a nonprofit community newspaper available in print, digital, and mobile formats. The Northside Chronicle invites the community to Northside Sandwich Week on October 27th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Priory. The evening will feature sandwiches from local businesses, and proceeds will support the Northside Chronicle in its ongoing mission to provide hyper-local coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. More information on Northside Sandwich Week is available at northsidesandwichweek.com.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible with support from individual donors who believe that our original public radio programming and innovative youth media programs make a difference in daily life and our community. Join in on the fun and support SLB during Cartober, a special campaign where individuals can donate a used vehicle, running or not, to SLB. Cars, trucks, RVs, boats, and more are eligible, and our partners will take care of pickup and all of the paperwork. For more information, call 1-855-500-RIDE or visit slbradio.careasy.org.
Well, now, our Youth Express Hour continues, and see, Sambar is here. She's been really active in our Youth Media Center, and we also have Sophia Faltzgraf, who I'm meeting for the first time this morning. I'm really glad both of you are here. Sophia, tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, that project, I mean, why I'm here, was a project that I worked on in my high school, my junior year, at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School. And now I'm 18, 2 years from when I made that, and I go to CMU for design and production for their costuming program.
Excellent. It's nice to meet you. I'm going to ask you to pull that mic a little closer or scoot up just a little bit so we can hear you better. And see, I feel like I could do your introduction, but I'm going to let you do your own. For listeners who have not tuned in to the YXL podcast that you're co-hosting or have not heard you before.
Yeah. My name is C. Sambar. I'm a filmmaker here from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I also do radio here on Wednesdays with Youth Express Live. And I'm just here to tell really diverse stories and get, you know, the unheard voices out there.
You've been doing an incredible job at that. I'm going to put you to work, if that's okay. One reason I asked you off the air whether you knew Sophia very well is I was curious as to that, because assuming you did not, you will probably be as good, if not better, an interviewer than I would be. So I'm going to let you do that. Then we'll turn around and do the other. I may pop in from time to time, but go ahead.
Yes, Sophia. Can you talk about your project a little bit?
Yeah, so that was a project that I actually did for high school again. It was a found materials design project. So I was really just taking inspiration from just bigger shapes, and I wanted to kind of find things in the trash. I'm a big dumpster diver. So I found a lot of things from my mother's work. She works at Global Links, and I found a lot of medical gauze and fabrics to kind of create the dress of this piece. And then it was attached to a headpiece, and it was all one thing, and it was difficult to get into. And then it was all finished with this larger jacket that was fully made out of cardboard, and it was almost like a jacket that was cropped, and it was pretty much unmovable. So it was a really interesting shape in order to move and pose, and it was kind of restricting in a way that was really interesting. So that was just an overall fashion design project that I worked on that just turned out really well.
Was there like something specific that inspired you to make the piece?
There is a trend online that kind of goes back to designs that were found in Panera Breads of 2006, and it has kind of been redefined as like a Global Village coffee house aesthetic. And it was kind of, they had very specific shapes of their people with these broader shoulders, and almost in a way that was kind of reminiscent of cave drawings and things like that. So I just wanted to create a very distinct shape with this piece, and a headpiece that just kind of, it just had a really distinct look that was kind of reminiscent of all of these sketches that people are kind of looking to go back to from about 2006.
And so you're kind of taking inspiration from 2006. What do you feel like you took from, you know, like the 2020s, taking something from the old and bringing it to the new?
I would say taking bolder shapes kind of in fashion than they had then, but also I took a lot of, it was more kind of in the materials that I used. So it was more like newspapers and kind of having this coffee shop feel that was reminiscent of kind of what people are looking back to. So there was an element of nostalgia that was pretty deeply embedded kind of in the work without being outright kind of in your face, because it was also the piece itself, like all the shapes kind of spoke for themselves. So you could kind of determine it however you wanted.
And has fashion always been important to you?
I would say yes. It's kind of been a major point of self-expression for me, and I think it really kind of reflects in my normal clothes and then also the clothes that I like to create and put on other people, whether that's just in print or on stage, or I just love things that are outlandish is, I think, my goal.
And do you like making pieces for theater or just for yourself, or what do you like to make for?
I have had a lot of different opportunities to do costume making for the stage, for film, but I think runway in a purely like high fashion look is what I'm going for, because there can be a lot of restrictions when it comes to theater. So I think moving in a different direction is kind of where I would love to go next.
That's awesome.
I'm curious, when did you start creating fashion? Did you do it, you know, as an early teen or even earlier than that?
I would say it really started at teens. I have always been an illustrator, so I think kind of bringing something into a physical space was something that was newer for my high school career and then into my college career. And I remain just obsessed with illustration and how to bring things off the page. But fashion design is newer, and this is a little bit obvious in the piece because through everything that I used, I barely use a sewing or a needle. I always use like hot glue.
And do you find if you see and can visualize something in your head, are you able to pretty comfortably or readily translate it to something in 2D and then something in 3D, or is it a struggle to get that vision from your head into something that all of us can see?
I would say when I make a drawing, I think everything starts out as a basic shape. Like everything is broken down into shapes in my brain. Like when I created that jacket, it was like a major triangle with a large focus on the shoulders that was kind of off-putting to the straightness of everything else about the piece. So I think bringing things into the 2D, even if I am struggling, I would put a piece of like tracing paper and then really just trace out the most basic shapes to kind of create the mass about the piece before I go into detail work.
I had one other question, and then I'm going to ask if you could do the same with C, if that's okay. You have been at Carnegie Mellon for about a month.
Yes.
This is your freshman year. I'm curious how it's gone, and if you have any advice that you would give to anybody who is about to start college.
That was a big thing. I think about a month in, it's definitely a lot of work, but it's really interesting to kind of finally be challenged at my level. I think it definitely takes a lot of getting used to, but I think even kind of when you're entering that space of not knowing, I think you need to remain confident in your abilities and kind of why you're there. You'll constantly need to remind yourself, like, I am like deserving of this opportunity, and I need to kind of let my personality keep shining through even with all of this work that I have. And kind of little details can make everything, even in the most impersonal of works.
That's good advice. And probably this happens with a lot of people as they start college. You might have been an outlier at your high school or one of a few, and then suddenly you're shoulder to shoulder with other people that probably were outliers at their schools. What are you studying again?
I'm studying design and production. So it starts out as like a general program where you're really going through all of the different aspects of technical theater. I would hope to become a designer, but definitely there you enter the room with a lot of different people that have strengths in more technical aspects too, which can create a really interesting melting pot of a class of about 28 people.
Excellent. I'm going to let you turn to C, and we can learn about her project. I'm quickly going to tell you that was Sophia Faltzgraf, and she is one of the honorees from Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh's Teen Media Awards. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Another honoree who's here with us is C. Sambar, and I'm going to let Sophia talk to C a little bit about her work.
All right, so this was a film that you were working on?
Yes.
Was there any major inspiration that kind of triggered this film?
Yes. So the film is titled Nail Polish. It's about a non-binary teen who goes on a journey towards acceptance after being kicked out. And the inspirations are kind of mostly from early experimental films from Andy Warhol and Maya Darren. Maya Darren's work in Meshes of the Afternoon, it's one of my favorite films, and it's from the 1940s, and it's just very interesting and cool, and she tries a bunch of different techniques in her directing. And Andy Warhol, who's from Pittsburgh, and I take a lot of inspiration from, and I love to go to the Andy Warhol Museum and kind of look at his work. He has a very interesting way of looking at people and, you know, finding something within the silence of it all. And I was very inspired by the early experimental work of those two, but also merging it with more modern techniques that I've almost seen on social media, like mixed media art, which is kind of taking like your movie and then like printing it all out, like the frames of it, and then like drawing on it and stuff and like damaging it. And I was inspired by both of those things and kind of holding them both to like make Nail Polish and to kind of represent the feelings of the main character.
Do you think that this was surrounded, since this was surrounded around a non-binary main character, does that often show up in your other work? Is that a primary narrative that you work on?
Yeah, I think not only non-binary, but a lot of trans themes and trans characters. Being trans myself, I like to explore those themes and make sure kind of people can like understand these people and these characters. Like right now, I'm working on a documentary called Transcribe that is about trans youth. But I think I look at it in different ways. Like with Transcribe, I'm kind of the audience I'm kind of curating it for is people who know nothing about trans people. And so like for people who are more ignorant. For Nail Polish, I feel like it is for trans kids who felt alone. So I kind of made it more like grungy and very artsy, as like a lot of my trans friends I feel like would really like that. Where with my other project, Transcribe, I feel like I'm making it for an older audience, perhaps.
Right. Does you as an artist, do you take more enjoyment out of kind of starting from the very basis and then creating work for an ignorant audience, or do you like a piece that is more focused on connecting with people who are already in that community?
I feel like both have their strengths, but I do really like connecting with my own community. I feel like mostly because I feel like I love getting the response when people watch it that like they felt seen or they really liked it and they felt like connected with the art. And I feel like that is way more powerful to me, but I think they're both important in their own ways.
Right, of course. You were talking a bit about director tactics and kind of more modern ideas when it comes to a process. Do you have a specific process that kind of either even in writing or in actual practice as you're directing?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the ways I like to direct is I think for the edit, and I like to think, how will this help me or negate me when I'm editing the film, because I also edit and I want to make sure like, oh, do I do this specific shot so I can cut it this really cool way? And I like to think of how will the end product look based on what I'm doing now during, you know, shooting the film, and what will the animation process over top it look? And I think a lot of it comes down to like what movements will look cool and what can I bring together to, you know, weave a narrative.
Right. Do you have a larger team that you work with, or is it more of a solo endeavor?
For Nail Polish, it was a larger team at first, and then I liked to, when I was animating and doing that process, it felt way more personal to me. So filming, I had like a larger group of like audio people and camera people, and I had a co-director with me. But when I was animating, I just listened to music and I just sat with it, and I sat with the emotions I was getting, and I was able to fully connect with the story.
Do you prefer that as opposed to kind of taking a larger role as a director? Because I understand that that can also be overwhelming. So do you take enjoyment in kind of bringing a whole team together, or do you take more enjoyment kind of sitting with those feelings? Because I know that there are people that can feel different ways about that.
Yeah, I think both have, like, can feel different. Like, but I don't know. I feel like I am really happy just when I'm at my calmest and I'm just with the piece and really digesting it by myself. But I do love the people I work with.
Yeah, that's great.
You said something, C, that really grabbed me, and I'm curious how you figured this out, which is the notion of shooting for the edit, or being cognizant in your head of how you might edit what you get and use what you get, which is something we actually teach when it comes to doing interviews for subsequent use in a recorded piece rather than something extemporaneous as we're doing now. We actually, you know, think like an editor as you do this. How did you figure that out?
I edited a lot and I got really annoyed. And I was like, I did really bad shooting this for some reason, and it made my job harder in the end. And I was like, I just want it to be easy. Please let it be easy. And so I kind of just worked off of that and wanted to make my job easier so I could do less work.
That's, I love that you said that, because here at the Youth Media Center and for years, some people only want to interview, or others only want to edit. And I think it's really important to do both, at least at first, because you'll be a better interviewer if you understand what the editor is going to go through, and the reverse is true, too. We have a few moments left. Do either of you want to say anything that you didn't get a chance to say? You both did an amazing job trying to help us get to know each of you.
What else can I say? I don't know. I'm really happy with how the film turned out. I feel like a lot of people try to rush films and try to really get them out, which I think is good in its own way. But Nail Polish took a year of very hard work to get it done. And I think it's much more fulfilling when you take time with art and you let it kind of marinate a little bit. And I'm very happy that I was able to just sit with it for a while, and because I feel like I was able to understand the character and the people behind it. And I feel like our world even changed in the year I was making it. And that was interesting, brought new context to it. And I think with art, it isn't like a stagnant thing. And I think I want people to know that your art can change through the years. And like an art that was made like 100 years ago could take on a new meaning now. And I think that is kind of the beautiful thing about it.
I think that's really wise too, to know you are still working on something sometimes, even if you put it aside. Somewhere in your brain, or even if you're not thinking about it, you are advancing it in some ways, I think. What about you, Sophia?
Honestly, I think not only was the costume really interesting, but I really enjoyed the photos that were taken of it. I would love to give a thank you to my friend Ashton Kish, who took all of these photographs and really made it feel like high fashion in a way. I think that was the first kind of realization that I had of this is something that people enjoy and that can be celebrated instead of just being things that exist in my head or even on a piece of paper, because that's not always fulfilling enough. So I think, yeah, getting that kind of in a photo and just really looking, just making it look beautiful, even for what it was.
Well, congratulations to both of you on the Teen Media Award honors from Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh. There's a lot of competition for those awards, so congratulations. And thank you for taking time to be here today. And take care. I know we'll see you again, Sophia. I hope we'll see you again, too. Sophia Faltzgraf and C. Sambar today, both honorees from the Teen Media Awards at Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh. broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, where barbershop harmonies are next. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings on WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM, Grove City, WCUC FM, Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio, where you will find our own player plus links to TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and Radio Garden, plus our popular listen by phone number if internet service isn't good where you are and you have unlimited long distance. A great way to listen is by phoning 631-359-8728.
A one, two, you know what to do. Did our shows got the applause? Abandoned me, heading for the cars. Give a little wave to the fans. 5 days out and two.